I don't hear anything.
Okay, thanks. I forgot to unmute my mic. Anyway, welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, May 16, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week with our scripture reading. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there.
Okay, Jan, are you here tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay, do we have any questions or any announcements?
Yes, we do. Okay, the first question is really long, so I'm going to kind of summarize it. And this goes to the Biden administration and the proposing of amendments to the World Health Organization through a treaty at the Geneva Convention to hand over American sovereignty to the World Health Organization in the event of a future pandemic or health disaster. Now, they've heard that if passed, any member states, including the USA, that shows resistance to any of the protocols or measures, actions taken by the World Health Organization, it will amass its power through force via the UN. If I'm not mistaken, the president cannot just hand over sovereignty of our country to any non-governing foreign body, and that Article 6 and the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution states, This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, da 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 da. From what it says, treaties appear to come in third in supremacy in respect to the Constitution and the laws of our country, and not lord over them. And where does it mention that treaties can impugn our unalienable rights? Can you clarify, please?
Well, it is true that anything that is repugnant, anything that is repugnant to the Constitution, and certainly that is repugnant to the Constitution, is null and void. That's in Marbury versus Madison. It was one of the very first U.S. Supreme Court cases. And of course, that has stand. The problem is they've got the guns. And it is true, no president or nobody could really pass over and change the law to change the nation, the law that this nation has, to give up our sovereignty or any of those things. But that's the job of the people. If the people were woken up, if the people were educated and they were awake and they exercised their government by consent, as the Declaration set forth, which is the foundation of our law, then it would have been an impossibility. But again, they've got the guns, or shall I say, they've had the guns. And I think that we can see clearly lately they're losing the guns. And so it's a matter of time before things are brought to correction. But we almost lost it all. And if we didn't have a Trump, then we would probably have lost it all. Maybe the military might have moved on their own. That would have been very confusing. Probably a lot of people would be very confused and a lot more people would have died. I think under this situation, it's going to be, you know, minimum in the sense of loss of life during the take back of this nation. But certainly I do believe that there will be casualties. After all, there has been casualties for 200 years, ultimately, because the Revolutionary War never ended. It just continued covertly. Only today it is now in the open, so it's overt. And so therefore, you know, we are all casualties of war. We've all been injured. We've been robbed. They've stolen not only our liberty, our government, they have stolen our economics, our finance, our monies, anything worth of any value. They've stolen all. But I think the time is coming for judgment for these people. And there's no doubt that before this end of the year, I would say that would a matter of fact, before the end of this year, things will be turned back right side up, shall I say. Exactly when that's going to happen, I don't know. I kind of think it's going to take a little while longer. In other words, so many more months. And it may even go all the way up to the election. But at some point in time, the mass arrest will start. The military will make its move. The nation will be returned back to we the people. But as I've been saying for quite some time, and I'm sure others have been mimicking the same message, if the people don't get themselves educated, step up and get started locally with their committees of safety, becoming committeemen, taking back their judicial process, taking back their political process, taking back all of the local governments and right up to the federal government, if they don't step up to do this, then it's all for naught. It's just, it'll be given back to us, but just sit there. Someone has to fill the void of power. Jefferson made it clear that the proper solution for anything that is unconstitutional is nullification. Simply nullify it. But only the people can nullify it. That's the problem. They don't know it, and they don't know how. Therein the purpose of National Liberty Alliance. All right, next question.
Okay, I keep encountering the idea that the federal authorities are distinct and limited, but that the state's authorities are not.
Are muted.
I'm sorry, something happened with unmuted here? But go ahead, continue, I'm sorry.
Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, let me go into queue. But go ahead, continue.
Something to do with how their constitutions differ. Can John speak more on that to clarify? Because from what I've encountered, it was sounding as if federal government can only do the few limited things the people have delegated to it. But the states can usurp any and all authorities at any time without the people authorizing them to do so. And surely that's wrong.
Well, look at the states have lost their sovereignty. They've lost it because the people fell asleep. The people have not continued in their, you know, really exercising their heritage is what they should have been doing, but we haven't been. We haven't been doing that for quite some time, maybe 150 years or definitely 100 years. So the states have lost their sovereignty by the 17th Amendment. The people lost their sovereignty not only by the 16th Amendment, which actually enslaved the people, Gerard, do you remember?
Organic Act.
The Organic Act of 1871, that's what it was, 1871. So the Organic Act of 1871 really sealed up our demise. And ever since then, they've been constructing law upon that, writing civil law, using equity, you know, the actual law that we gave them authority to write. And then they started exercising USC 18 and USC 28 against the people as a civil law. And they've been putting a lot of stuff in there to control us. And that's the problem. Until the people step up and do something, until the states will never, you know, receive back their power. Again, I'll get back to the same thing as the, really the first question. If the people don't wake up and the people don't get educated and the people don't start committees of safety to become actual committeemen, exactly like our founding fathers were, to exercise their unalienable right of government by consent, to control the courts within their counties, to control all their governments within their counties, and also as it extends to the state and to the federal, whatever representatives they have, and they need to control these people. Until that happens, we will never, ever, ever be able to exercise it. So, as Jefferson said, and people really need to realize what this means, as Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Because if you don't know what powers and authority we gave to the let's take just the federal government, the powers and authorities that we the people gave to the federal government, if we don't understand what they are and the limitations of those powers, the limitations of those jurisdictions, then they're going to take more and more powers. And they're going to take more and more jurisdictions, and they're going to do whatever they please. So again, it's up to the people to save this nation. Don't depend on Trump. Don't depend on the military. They might be able to do something to hand it back to us, but we have to receive it. And if we fail to receive it, then we will fail to have liberty. We will fail to have this government by consent. It will be lost because someone must take control of the power, of the vacuum that is going to be taking place. There's going to be a power vacuum when all the arrests take place. Who's going to take control? Who has the ability and the knowledge to take control? As a matter of fact, even our representatives don't even understand. I listen to the arguments all day long. I get sick and tired of it. I don't even want to hear it no more because these people seem to think, and again, it's out of ignorance. They got a lot of good intentions and everything, but they're ignorant. They're totally ignorant to the Constitution. They think we're a democracy. You know, I listen to them make the argument concerning, for instance, what the majority wants. Who cares what the majority wants? We're a people of law. We're not a people of majority. Majority is mob rule. Our founding fathers were clear about that. It was brought up at least two or three times in the Federalist Papers. There were many times in the Federalist Papers. They dogged down the democracy. We are not a democracy. Nowhere in our founding papers do you find democracy. Nowhere in our heritage, in our common law, do you find democracy. You find a republic, which is really a government of law, a natural law republic, the only lawful republic in the world. There is no other republic that is actually lawful unless it's a natural law republic. And that's what makes America so different. I forget how many hundreds. I know we wrote a paper on this, but there's hundreds of republics. You know, Russia's a republic, China's a republic, Iran's a republic, Iraq's a republic. No, all these other places, they're republics, but they're not natural law republics. So they're just as lost as any other democracy. They have no secured foundation. We're thankful that we're still built upon that rock. But we're about ready to fall off of it. The house that we've built upon that rock is ready to fall. People need to get educated. People need to step up. People need to take control. They need to do this on the grassroots level. And that's about the only way we're going to be able to deal with this problem. So the states have lost it all, and we can give it back to the states and require them. Matter of fact, I'm going to create a page under our, let's see, I don't see the drop-down box on our website. There it goes, okay. I'm going to create a page under starting a committee of safety, and one of the new pages is I'm going to start listing out things, and I kind of hope that people will, you know, let us know other things that we're missing. But the things that we need to correct, and the only way we're going to correct it is we the people taking control on the grassroots level and requiring the representatives when they go to Washington. I'm talking on the federal level alone first. Every state level has their own problems. People got to figure that out. But collectively, we can talk a lot about what the problems are on the federal level. And I'm going to create a page. Look, at we've given Congress the power and the authority to regulate. And to make, to regulate something, I've heard many people bring up the point, and I've always agreed with this, it's to make things regular. But sometimes it's not necessarily to make something regular in a certain way. And let me give you an example. We need to regulate a big business. Let's take Big Pharma. Big Pharma is destructive. They control the medical field. They control the medical schools. Everything is built around everything that any of these doctors and nurses or any of these people learn in medical school, anything they learned, okay, is really governed ultimately by the pharmaceutical companies. And everything's built around all of these medications that they've created and charge a fortune for us. And it's all destructive. It's all destructive. People need to really rely on natural things and move into a different direction. But nevertheless, until they wake up and realize that we're being destroyed through the medical business alone, our food, we're poisoning our food. They've got sugar in everything. Everything. And it has destroyed us in such a way that we constantly want to eat. We want, even when we get full. I remember when I was younger, I'd get full and I'd had enough. I said, I don't want nothing no more. I'm done. That's not the way it is anymore, because our food is full of so much poison, and particularly sugar and carbohydrates. And it's a constant want for food. Okay. And that's why Americans are obese. And a lot of nations that have adopted a lot of the things that we've got, opening up McDonald's and different things, they got the same problem. They've poisoned our air. They've poisoned our water. And people don't even realize it. I know a lot of people, of course, that listen in here and other places, they're aware of a lot of these things. But generally speaking, the people have no clue about this. We're being destroyed, and we need to wake up, and we need to do something about it. But and the only way you're going to do it is take control at the local level. So I'm going to start making a list of different things that we need to be talking to our representatives once we take control, hopefully enough across the nation and with enough committees of safety to be able to make it work, because it's only the people can do this. I thought about this, and I thought about suing. Okay, so who do we sue? Do we sue Congress? How easy is that going to be to sue Congress? Congress is not doing their job. They don't even know what their job is. They don't know the Constitution. They're all totally lost and following the party bosses, whatever they're telling them to do. And they're being told that they're a democracy and it's mob rule and that's that. People, we need to really get together and require our representatives to do certain things. Let's start regulating some of these big companies, okay? You know, we're supposed to, Congress is supposed to make everything regulate to make everything available to the people, not to restrict anything, but they also must restrict them, and this is through regulations, codes and regulations. They must restrict certain activities and action of big business. Let's take the car industry or any industry you want. They build these things in the car, so 10 years in, a lot of things, that, you know, you, the guarantee or the warranty comes to the end, and things start to fail, okay? They start to fatigue. They make things out of certain materials that after 10 years it starts to fall apart, and you got to replace them. You know, I got a vehicle right now. It's 10 years old, and all these little things are failing. And it's like the light bulb. There's a light bulb that's burning in some firehouse for over 100 years. It was early on, one of the first light bulbs made. And they figured, well, we got to do something about that. We're not going to have enough business, so we're going to make sure these light bulbs don't last but so many hours. That's why you read on the things. You know, they give you the life, how many hours. This is wrong. I mean, I understand people want to make money. They'll make money anyway. Always people will be building new homes, building new businesses, putting in new light bulbs. Some light bulbs will break, and occasionally some will just fail anyway, because that's the nature of life. Things fail. And they can make them, but that's not enough for them. And it's the same thing with lots of business. Again, I remember when I was a child, things were built to last. Okay, today, that's not the case anymore. It was problematic back then too, I'm sure, but not as big. The thing is it's becoming so big. Everything is destroying us. Medically, we're being destroyed by food. Again, the air, the water, everything. We're a mess. We need to fix it. So I'm going to start a list, a page of things that we need to address our Congress with. You know, I'm talking about the U.S. Congress at this point. And what we're going to require them to do, we expect, we're going to get you into the office, we're going to require you to do this, require you to do that. And if you don't do these things, then we're going to think about recalling you. And that's the power of the people, because the power of recall, that's government by consent when you can recall. It's government by consent when you can indict. It's government by consent when they start to listen. But they don't fear the people. They're not worried about their job. Do you know who they fear? They fear the party bosses. And that's the democratic process. That's democracy. That's what parties are all about. You know, one side against the other. Constant, you know, all these arguments, just about every single argument you can listen to that they talk about anywhere, it's all unauthorized. They shouldn't be talking about these things. We didn't send them to Washington to do these things. We sent them to Washington to discuss the business of Article 1, Section 8. That's what we sent them to Washington for. That's the business that they should be involved with. They should be fixing the problems, but they're not. They're too busy, you know, lining their pockets and preparing a process and building a statutory prison for the New World Order. All right, any other questions?
No, that was the last question, John.
Okay. Okay, we have opened up the Q&A, I believe. Yeah, I think we've got Q&A going. Yep, we do. So anybody that wants to get into the QA, Q, star 6 and a 1, right now there is nobody in the queue. Okay, I see some person did come into the queue. Yeah, go ahead, Gerard.
I dropped a little video in your Skype. And it's
yeah, I saw.
Bachman, yeah. And it's only 4 minutes long.
Oh, do you want me to play it?
Yeah, because I think this is important, because this vote that they're talking about that's coming with the WHO, it's happening in Switzerland, I think, and that's bad, because we don't have control over that, really, and they got control over NATO. So if Trump doesn't get back here and take control of the military by the end of the month, they're going to be pulling their shenanigans. You're going to see a war of that. It's going to get bad. And just listen to what she says. Like, they're going crazy because they didn't know, what's his name? Biden snuck this in January, and it's going to be voted on the end of May. I don't know how they think they're going to enforce it, because this is going to cause a revolution if they think they can enforce it. The American people will never go for this, but if they use NATO against us, that's going to be a bad thing. But just play that video.
Right, yeah, I'll play it, and we'll take a look at that. You know, again, I listen to a lot of things, a lot of negative news, and, you know, fortunately, most of us, we listen to different news, alternative newses, and we're getting some good information, and we know what's really going on, and we know what's going to happen. And but people who don't know, this kind of thing is frightening, but it does need to be getting out there. It does need to go out, and the people need to get frightened to some degree and woken up. And for us, we need to be educated and realize what it is that they're trying to do to be able to really deal with it. But let's
really important. You said we have to nullify it now.
Nullify. Yeah.
Michelle Bachman and Steve Bannon, two good people. But what I'm seeing here when you watch this, I think they're allowing them to have too much credibility. That's my point. Just watch this, and then we can.
Okay, let's look at it, and we'll discuss it a little later.
Go ahead. Just let it play. It's
what
short.
Exactly is going on in Geneva at the World Health Organization, and how do we get so far down the road of it looks like signing something that's going to expand the sovereignty, the ability of the World Health Organization in Geneva, controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, to affect the sovereignty of the United States of America?
That's right. It's hard to believe, Steve, but in less than 2 weeks' time, a vote will take place in Geneva, Switzerland, at the World Health Assembly. They're important because they're the governing body of the World Health Organization, WHO. This authority that they would be given would impact 99.4% of all the people in the world. There are 193 nations belonging to the UN. The Biden administration is bringing amendments that would propose that all nations of the earth cede their sovereignty over national health care decisions to the WHO, the World Health Organization. So what this would mean, Steve, is that the WHO would have decision-making authority to intervene into the United States government policy in any nation of the world without our permission. So, for instance, the lockdowns where you see 26 million people today locked down in Shanghai, China, they can't leave their apartments or homes, the WHO would have the authority to be able to enforce that here in the United States for whatever pretext they want. They don't have to show data. They could do this. What this does, Steve, bottom line, is it creates a platform for global governance, global governance through the WHO. This is what people need to know. It's time sensitive. No one knew about this. The Biden administration gave these proposed amendments to the World Health Organization on January 18th. No one in America knew this until April 12th. Less than a month ago, the Biden administration posted these amendments. But in less than 2 weeks in Geneva, Switzerland, the delegates will vote on it. The Biden administration has already released a list of countries, 40 of the most powerful countries in the world, including Canada, including the EU, including the UK, including Australia. These countries are going along with the Biden administration's insane push to give sovereignty over the untrustworthy WHO. Again, this creates a platform for global governance. So it's extremely important. The vote is going to take place in less than 2 weeks. And no one effectively knows about this happening, but people are starting to know. So it's important now that we get to Kevin McCarthy, the leader in the House, Mitch McConnell, the leader in the Senate, and demand that they drop everything and have a joint press conference and say nothing is going to happen in the United States government until Joe Biden drops these amendments and agrees that we will not give a U.S. sovereignty away to the U.N. This is the biggest global power grab that we have ever seen in our lifetime. And if this goes through, nothing else matters, because the vote that takes place May 22nd through 28th in Geneva, Switzerland, goes into effect in November, which means it won't matter which party wins the elections in November, because global authority will have already transferred to the WHO. That's why this is so important, and it's why we have to get the U.S. Senate involved, the U.S. House involved, so they stop this dead in its tracks right now, or we lose authority here in the United States.
All right. Anything you wanted to comment on that, Gerard, particularly, or let it sit as it is?
It's ridiculous, and you know this. We just had to tell them to get rid of that Ministry of Truth, which I don't even know if they've done that. You know, they put in this.
Well, Congress is not going to stop this. We do realize that, and a lot more is going to happen. Things are going to get worse. We know that we have food problems. We have gas problems. We got so many problems. Okay, anybody who has not bought food, you better get out there now and get it and stock your yourself up with whatever you need to get through for at least 3 months. I mean, 6 months is more better, but 3 months at least. Because there's going to be a point where there's not going to be enough food to go around. Gas is a major problem. I mean, no one's going to have enough money to even buy gas.
Fuel oil, how are you going to pay for fuel
oil? Fuel oil, forget about that.
It's going to be up to over $8 a gallon. Forget I can't fill my tank.
Yeah,
you know,
forget about it. Not going to happen.
This is just
the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip of the iceberg, because look at it, there are too many people that are still asleep and they're being woken up. They have to realize that when the military makes the move and things happen, they got to be in agreement with it. Okay, and you know, look at the enemy. What they do is they create chaos. Okay, and when it's time for them to really take control, they want to pour the chaos on. And then the people will accept anything to stop it. Anything. Well, you know, the white hats are using that. Let them create all the chaos they want. As long as they got control over it, that's okay, because then the people will be ready to accept anything, and they'll accept the righteousness that steps up to take control, and then they'll see the difference. It becomes a black and white issue. Okay, but there are just way too many. You know, look at, how could it be? How could it be that only 70% of the people disapprove of this clown in the White House? How could that be? Because 30% of the people are still asleep, okay? What's wrong with, they're not paying attention. Maybe they don't matter, really, ultimately, because maybe they're not paying attention. We could take this nation back, and they may not even realize anything has happened. Who knows? I don't know. But I do know people who don't pay attention to anything. They don't listen to any news. They don't pay attention to anything that's going on. They just live their lives as simple as they do, and they just don't pay attention to anything. And I guess it's that high, 30%.
Listen, if he doesn't take the media back, we're screwed, because those people that listen to things like CNN to get their information, you're going to have two militaries fighting each other here. You're going to have NATO and the American military, and people are going to be confused. They're not going to understand.
Well, look at their stories. No matter what they do, they keep changing their stories. The people are seeing through it. And again, I don't know how much of that 30% will ever be woken up. I don't know. But we do know one thing. It has to get really, really bad before it gets better.
Well, it's coming. You know, there's
It's here.
There's no, my daughter's car is bad, and I went to bring it to the dealership to trade it in or do something with it. And they got nothing but used cars that they're buying. They cannot get new ones. And they're all up. $18,000. No, these are used cars.
I mean, the used cars are going up. It's ridiculous.
They cannot get new cars. They cannot. Mm-hmm. And you know, as far as this planned obsolescence, 10 years ago, I had a car in here, and it was 7 years old, and they're telling me that the harness for the back window is obsolete. So if they're, you know, they used to build them. They last a long time, 20-30 years. Then, you know, then it went down. Pretty soon, it's 10 years. Now they're less than
There, that's Congress. That's Congress's fault. The Congress has allowed it, but it's the people who are falling asleep.
Hers has 48,000 miles on it, and it's shot. The tranny's shot. The harnesses are shot. They've been putting harnesses in them. It's a beautiful car, but it's junk. It's junk. And
Congress could have prevented that, but the people, it's up. Let me rephrase that. The people could have prevented that.
Right.
If the people were awake, if the people were educated, if the people became involved on a grassroots level and became committeemen, real true committeemen, not the statutory committeemen with the party bosses and all that. No. You know, the committees of safety committeemen, the real committeemen, the control of the courts, the control of the political process, all the local governments, you know, controlling what they do. Again, right now, and anybody that's in the political, you know, arena as far as involved with, let's say, the statutory process of the committeemen, everybody knows that when the party bosses speak, everybody listens. When the party boss goes to a person that's in office and says, you're going to do this, this, and this, they listen. They obey, and they do. Because they owe their job to that party boss. That party boss got them onto the ticket and got all of the minions, all of the lost people. A lot of lost people don't even realize that they've been just helping the enemy just take over by helping these people get into office. But now when the people take that control over and the government feels the people, when the committees of safety committeemen people talk, they will listen and they will obey. Again, this is all because of ignorance, and you know, knowledge is power. Knowledge will fix everything, and nullification is the key, and requirement of fixing these problems is the key. We need to tell Congress to start doing their job and start doing the correct kind of regulations.
Anybody that writes or puts up a bill like this, they should be arrested. This is treason.
Of course, it is treason.
Considering this. And that's how you nullify it. You say, look, you're going to put that up, you're going to go to jail. And the people will get behind that if somebody in authority just says it. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to take that a step further. Anything the bar says or does is treason. Everything the bar – look, everything that goes through Congress is bar-controlled, okay? it is really put forward and written by the bar. If you think the Rules Enabling Act was written by the United States Supreme Court justices back in 1938, between 34 and 38, well, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. The same thing with Congress. If you think Congress wrote that law, the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, then again, I have another bridge. I'll sell the bridge twice because I got another bridge to sell you. Because they have been writing all this stuff, and it's all treason. They've abolished the common law. They've abolished the rules of the rules of common law in the courts. They've thrown out courts of justice. They brought up civil law and brought that into our courts. They ignore the Constitution. They ignore us as a people. They will not. They will not accept our habeas corpuses. They will not accept or allow us into the courts. They just, and they make us pay money to get into the courts, and then they throw us out. It's never ending. And until the people step up to do something, it's just going to continue and get worse. But we can nullify it all. There's power in numbers. One count. Look, just get one county together and see how powerful that is, at least for the local government and for the person you send into Washington then. Then you get two counties working together, doing the same thing, taking care of their own business, their own personal businesses, and working together on problems that affect both counties and so on throughout the state. And you get a state connected like that, and you'll see how powerful that state will become. You get this across the entire nation, you'll see how powerful we the people are. But until that happens, we go nowhere. There is no other solution. There is no other way. And I've been saying this for 10 years. I challenge anyone to find any other way to save this nation other than to do the processes that we're teaching here at National Liberty Alliance. And we were, lost in this whole process of the committee men thing, and we just come to the realization of this more clearly in the past few years. Okay, but there is no other way. I challenge anyone to show us another way that we can save this nation. Because if you think you could do it without spending a couple hours a month getting together on a county level with the other people to work out the problems and work out solutions and get involved and execute the problem, we need to bring education back, proper education back into the schools. There's no need for anyone to have to go through any more than 8 or 9 years of education, and they should end up with a college-level education at 9 years in school. That's a no-brainer, because what they've been doing is just feeding these people, all of our children. They've been making them good comrades is what they've been doing.
How about they throw algebra out and teach us common law? Because how many people have ever used algebra since you've been out of high school?
Use it all the time.
Well, that's you.
No, that's not true. No, mathematics and English and every, those are the important things. Those are the important basic subjects. I mean, look at, if you go take the test, a good portion of that test, that ninth grade test that was back from the 1800s, 1889 or something like that. Someone brought that up last week. I forget what state it was from. There's quite a few algebra questions on that. It's economic questions. You're going to have to bring algebra into this. Mathematics is an extremely important subject. English is, I suffer with English. That's my downfall. But I've been doing a lot better. I've been getting a lot better. But nevertheless, English is important. Our proper English and our mathematics, geography and our history, real history, proper history, history of the United States, history of common law, history of who we are as a people, but world history all together also, of course. Civics, we need to teach our children, that they have a duty to get involved as they become an adult, that they have to give back. After all, they've received a heritage. It's their duty to protect that heritage for themselves and their posterity as much as it is for us. And we have to teach our children that. We have to teach our children morals. We have to teach our children to get involved and to do things. And we have to teach our children how to handle a weapon. That should be done in school. We have to teach our children how to drive a vehicle. That should be done in school. All these things should be done in school. They should know the Constitution. They should be a lawyer. When they come out of ninth grade, they should be able to go through law school, to be able to go into a court of law and represent themselves. It should be part of their curriculum between the first 9 years. Of course, when you want to, become a doctor or get a doctorate in something, then, of course, you have to go beyond the 9 years. But as far as a basic education, it easily could be accomplished. I know it can be accomplished.
That's how I feel about algebra. I'm sorry. I could live without it.
What was that?
I said that's how I feel about algebra. Unless you're going to be doing some engineering-type work, you need to learn how to read, write, count, do basic math. But I think common law classes, you turn 15 and you go get a license and you're contracting with the government and you don't even know what you're doing, and they're taking your rights away. They're taking your right to free travel, and they're giving you an all caps name, and your driver's license is kind of what's cementing it. You know, you get it at birth, but it sits there. Nothing happens with it. You haven't used it. You got money in your CESCU account and stuff. But when you turn 15 and get a learner's permit,
you don't need that. You don't need a learner's permit.
No,
you don't need a driver's license.
As a tool to control us.
Right. Look,
if
children are taught this in school at a particular age, they get, let's say, they're 14 or 15. Well, now let's put them in a car and let's teach them how to drive. It should be part of their school, their curriculum, how to be able to travel. Okay? And again, being a lawyer, I'm writing a book, and I just threw the table of contents up here. I'm almost done. I think I might be done in a week or two. And I'm really excited about getting this book out. And this book is probably going to be called, and I brought this up a few times over the past weeks, it's probably going to be called Court Access and the Common Law. Something like that, at least, okay? But just to go quickly through this table of contents, I just threw it up on my desktop here, okay? Chapter 1 is the essentials. There's rudimentary precepts that you need to know. You have to understand footnotes and then what in pro per means and licenses and the two meanings and the courts of law. You know, each one of these different items, the difference between a republic and a democracy, America's natural law republic, just in Chapter 1, okay, the rudimentary elements, the necessary essentials required in order to really get a mindset for the court system. Chapter 2 is an anatomy of a court case. And just to throw something really quick up, let me just open Chapter 2 for really quickly.
And this is all high school stuff, John.
This is a court. This should be done by ninth grade.
That's
this
right.
should be part of their curriculum, how to write papers, how this court system works. The justice system is the process by which we control our government, just as much as the political. There are two control points to control our government, the judicial process and the political process. We need to control both. And if we the people fail to control those two power structures, then we can't control our country. We can't control our government. But anyway, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. Here's the anatomy of a court case. It lays out the basic paperwork with the affidavit of service, a file and demand if necessary, a summons, the pleadings, the affidavit, a memorandum, and the exhibits. That's what makes up the court filing papers. A lot of people don't know that. It took me a long time to realize this, and it took me a long time to understand it, but it's this simple. It doesn't get any more difficult. So this basic paper, this Chapter 1, pretty much lays out how to develop all of these papers, okay? Goes right through the process. Everyone should get, this should be studied in school. As a matter of fact, I think this is written in such a way because it's written to teach people to actually take the book. You know, you need to go through the book really carefully, read through it once, basically just read through it, okay? Then come back and start using it and exercising in it, just like you'd have to do in a school, and anyone can represent themselves, and no one can represent your case better than you are. It's a big lie when they say only a fool is representing themselves. I say only a fool will get a lawyer to represent them, because that, first of all, nobody knows the case as well as you do. Second of all, that lawyer doesn't work for you first. He works for someone else first. He's got his commitments elsewhere, and he's got a commitment to the court, which is a civil law process and not a common law process. We need to take it back, and this book talks about both sides of the issues, pre-devolution and post-devolution. So it works both ways, and whether you're in, you know, it gives you a little bit of a samples of how to approach it from this side of the coin, so to speak, and then we get to the other side, how to approach it. But even in post-devolution, it's still going to take maybe a year or so for all of this stuff really to sort of, work through the system and for the judges to really get an understanding of what's really going on, at least the judges that are left and haven't been arrested by then. But anyway, here's the structure for an action in law, okay? Step-by-step process, basically a very simple, breakdown. The caption and the title, the preamble, the body and the closing. That's all it is to the paperwork to create an action at law, And the next thing is structure of defendant's answer. Very simple. How they, you know, denied, admitted, without knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. Very simple. You don't want to. You want to keep your answers very simple. If you're the defendant, and at the same time, if you're the defendant, you want to make yourself a plaintiff and file a counterclaim. Okay, because you want to be the plaintiff. All right. The next step, plaintiff's answer, and it goes back and forth. Everything should get verified. The structure of an affidavit. File on demand under penalty of law, opening a court of record, and then it gets into just a lot of things on this first, chapter. This is chapter two. The essentials is chapter one. The affidavit, the memorandums, the pleadings, the exhibits, the evidence, defendants' motions, amendments to the pleading, discovery, requests for admissions, motions. Everything you need to know is going to be found in this book. And that's only chapter two, okay? We have so much information that's going to be going into this book. Chapter three, the Republic Law and Equity, okay? The Republic Law and Equity. Chapter four, the two courts. We need to understand these things. Chapter five, on jurisdiction and sovereignty. We need to understand these things. What are cause of actions? What's the structure? How do you prove a cause of action? What's the breakup down? What's the elements of causes of actions? Well, chapter six gets into the cause of actions, the brief breach of contract, abuse of process, assault, assumption of duty, breach of fiduciary duty, conspiracy, frauds, goods sold, injunctions. All of these things, okay, and it's really not difficult. You know, when I first started studying this thing, it was extremely difficult because I couldn't get a big picture. You know, I couldn't get a grip on the boundaries of what I was trying to look at. And even when I found the jurisdictionary, it was difficult. I spent 3 days. I took 3 days off, morning to night. I just lived in that book. But 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, took a whole weekend. And I got through the whole book, took a lot of notes. I still didn't know a lot, but I pulled a lot of things together. But I got the boundaries. I got the, you know, all the boundaries of my understanding, what I need to know, and some basic principle understandings. And then I worked from there. Well, I tried to write a book here in such a way that gives you the structure, the boundaries, the big picture, the process, the procedure. Very simple. And believe me, you know, it looks like a lot of stuff, maybe a lot of words you've never heard before, but it depends on how much time you want to spend in this. If you really want to, if you spend enough time in this, you could be better than any lawyer out there. Any common law lawyer, if you're in a common law court, if you're in a court of justice, any common lawyer will kick the rear end off of any civil law lawyer any time of the day, okay? They understand the basics. Chapter 7, case examples. I'm going to have a lot of case examples, cases that you'll be able to use going up against, for instance, traffic court, things of that nature. What are the defenses? What are different defenses for different things if you're on the defendant side? And remember, you want to turn this whole thing around and you want to also countersue. Punitive damages. You need to understand what punitive damages, not only what punitive damages is, but what's reasonable. And I think we put together a good chapter on this. Motions, examples of lots of motions that you're going to make. You know, there are a lot of motions that you're going to put forward, how the court case works. And, you know, all of your pleadings is all gets together. It's an argument on paper is what it is, back and forth. You're just arguing the case, laying out the case. They're bringing back their position. You're annihilating their position and bringing back a better position. And it just goes back and forth until you're finished. Okay, that's the pleadings. That's what all it's about. You make all these different motions and different papers going back and forth. Then when that's all done, then it's time for the trial. And anything that isn't in the pleadings, you can't bring into the trial unless it's newly found. Okay? But also, you know, at the end of your pleadings, you could try to move for summary judgment, which is lawful in common law. When you can show the case plainly on its face that the other side hasn't got a chance to win. I mean, all of this stuff is discussed in this book and laid out. I tried to make it as simple as possible. And of course, we have this table of contents, which should really help people to get around, especially as they write their papers. Extraordinary writs. habeas corpus. I write up a habeas corpus. I forget how many pages, maybe about 15 or 16 pages of a habeas corpus, a very powerful habeas corpus that people can take themselves and file in the courts. They don't need anyone else to do it. They can do it. Just take this and put your own information into it. How to make a common law trust. And by the way, what Brent is teaching on a common law trust, so I'm trying to learn whatever I might not know about common law trust from him. And so he's got a course going, and when he takes the mic, I don't know if it's Steam at the moment, but if he's in the room tonight and he takes the mic, he'll give information on how you can join that course if you want. The right to practice law. Notice and demand. How to do a notice and demand. The jury, the power, the authority, nullification of the jury, our founding documents, okay, very important because all of that, that's all law. That's the law, okay? Chapter 22, our founding fathers' quotes, powerful stuff that you can use our founding fathers. After all, they wrote the law. They created this nation. They put this whole thing together. Whatever they have to say has a lot of clout and a lot of meaning to anything that anything means in our courts. I use founding fathers' quotes all the time. I use biblical quotes all the time. Maxims, you know. Got a chapter on maxims. Footnotes, a chapter on footnotes. Got lots of footnotes, okay. Surety bonds. American Bar Association. We need to know our enemy, the history of the bar in America. Enforcement, how to collect. Writing skills and word processor, things that you should know in creating your paperwork. Online resources and a glossary of terms. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be adding anything else more than that, but there's a lot of stuff in here. And
hey, Don,
yeah.
I sent you a video on David Strait. He's a common law attorney. He's been winning a lot of cases. He's been at it for a lot of years, but he goes into the bar. He sounds like you. And he says it's our biggest enemy. You got to listen to him like in there, and he's basically right where you are, where, and he says, "Look at legal is designed to break the law. Legal is not lawful. They have legal to break the law." And he talks about the bar and why.
Well, that's a play on words, I think. They've taken words and they've made it mean something else, and we know what legal really does mean.
They're playing games. But
exactly, it's a word game.
He claims he's had lots of attorneys ripped up with their bar license when he got done with them. So, anyway, he's very interesting, and he's kind of where we're at as far as all this goes. And I can see this book getting sanctioned by the Ministry of Misinformation.
This is hopefully take down the Ministry of Misinformation. But look at, lawyers, I believe this in my heart. I really do believe this, that the Bar Association is going to disappear. As soon as we get to the other side, there is no choice. There is no choice. There can be no other choice. I'm working on a paper, which we've already really done in many different ways. It's just a matter of pulling a lot of things together to really lay out, because we've done this already, laying out and showing that how they have subverted and destroyed our courts and our government. They're subversives. They teach the destruction of our Constitution. They literally teach it. Okay, and they put forth law that has destroyed our Constitution. Now, none of it is lawful. Okay, it's all null and void. It's a de facto. The courts are de facto. Our juries are de facto. Everything is de facto. Okay, and we need to bring it back. But only the people can do this. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it.
Bar attorneys. That's another problem.
Well, they're all going to go. They got
to
go.
We're running these attorneys to make laws for us. It's no wonder we have problems.
Well, they're the minions of the New World Order. That's who they are. They are the enforcers. They're the creators of the statutory prison that they've created and structured for us. I mentioned this before. I went up against a court here and refusing to participate with them, and laid out a paper. I thought it was pretty powerful. I'll be putting it into this book here also, by the way, the papers I've written for my own self and that I'm using for traffic court, for instance. I am not going to pay another traffic ticket no more. I don't care if I have to travel and put my time in it to go there and to fight it, the case. And I'll take that opportunity to teach the people who may be listening in, hopefully I'll be one of the first ones chosen or whatever, but hopefully I get an audience. And maybe they'll, like that one guy, the constitutional guy, How did they put it when he said something? He says what he said. Do you recall that, Gerard? How did that go? Do you remember?
That was weren't we in court with that one guy and he Ryan he stood up and read a thing like that showed that he wasn't going to participate, and then the next guy it was his turn to come up. He goes, "I want what that guy said." So everybody just about died. After that, they wouldn't let us take him in a regular court. Remember, they would make court just for him, which is unconstitutional, illegal.
Of course.
He didn't have a public trial because he was teaching too many people too much stuff, and he was beating the judges up, and everybody could see it. You know what I mean?
Hey, well, anyway, I'll be getting this book out soon. I think I might be finished with it in the next week or two, I hope. And we'll see where that goes. But my time's coming to an end here. I'm looking for Tom. Tom, I didn't see you in the queue if you're here, Tom. I know Tom wanted to speak for a while. Thomas, *6-1.
Yeah, we're supposed to.
I don't see him or click the. I don't know how the works on the app. There must be an app. What does it do in the app? How do you get into the queue with an app? Who can tell me that?
What do you mean? Question and answer is up there. It says question and answer or attendees on the.
No,
right.
No. I mean for a person that's coming in and wants to get into the queue. If they're on a phone, it's *6-1. But if they're not on a phone and they're not on a dialer, there's a dialer's app. But if they're not on that, if they're on their regular app on a smartphone or something, I'm not sure. There must be some button to get into the queue.
I think just go in and click it and it'll put you in. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, I was looking out for Thomas. I haven't seen him yet, but we'll try to keep an eye out for him. If he comes into the queue, try to take him first. He wanted to share some things that he's been doing. But with that, I'm going to pass things over to you. Is Brent here? And you do have people in the queue. Let's see.
Three people in there. I don't know if Brent's here.
I don't see him tonight.
Yeah.
All right, Brent, if you're here, give us a shout out. If not, we'll move on, and we'll see if he shows up a little later. Okay. Gerard, why don't you take the board, and let's take some Q&A here. And,
So it looks like, I hope it takes Amy. Let's see.
Hello?
Yes, is this Amy?
Oh, yes.
Hey, what's going on?
Right, so today, interestingly, I went to... the Connecticut Passport Agency to correct my status to U.S. National and remove the Social Security number, which is provided for in the new DS-5504 that David Strait mentioned, this new form as of April in his last, Florida live stream, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Fort Myers, and so I had.
So you went and you filed it, and what happened?
Yeah, I had all the documents perfect. I spent tons of time and money at FedEx making all these documents. I had the unrebutted affidavit of repudiation to Blinken. I had my live life claim. I had the signed statement about the Social Security number because it's not mine. It's the estate's, right? So I was able to make that statement, and they refused
to process. Where are you filing this, Amy?
Hold on. Let it finish, though. They refused to process it?
Yeah, the Connecticut Passport Agency. They brought out a form letter with nobody's name signed to it and reject it. And then so I said, I filled out this form completely. You're violating these laws. And I cited the laws that they're violating, which include the U.S. Title 8, Section 1101A, 21 and 23. And with regard to the Social Security number, 42 U.S. Code 408 and 26 CFR 301-6109-1C. And I said I had the passport photos. I had all the documentation required in their instruction form. And this new form actually lists the choice of non-citizen U.S. nationals at the very top of the form. And it you know, makes a provision to remove the Social Security. And it says the data error is corrected at no cost with no expedite fee if the passport's still valid, your old passport.
Yeah, but what do you expect? What do you expect for all this paperwork to do for you?
To correct your status and remove the Social Security number from your record.
Do you think that'll stop the IRS from coming out and assaulting you?
No, I'm just correcting the data errors that they make by presumption and assumption.
Yeah, but if you don't file...
If you acquiesce to their presumptions and assumption that Social Security belongs to the living woman, they're wrong. So if you don't correct their fraud, then it stands, right? So that's what I was doing, basically.
Well, but they don't take correction. You do know that.
No, this form is specifically for that purpose.
But the enemy...
Correction errors.
But the minions of the New World Order in the courts, okay, they don't accept what you're saying, so they're going to ignore what you're saying.
It's on their form. Their new
form.
They
put that form
out
there to placate you.
Specifically accommodates these data errors on the new form that came out in April.
Let me explain something. You know, I've done what you've done in a different way. I think Gerard did, too. We did this. We went and we set forth a status, and we filed it with the county clerk.
People were caught last month in Buffalo for taking bribes of $30 to reject these same applications past month in Buffalo. They were caught taking bribes to reject these applications that the new form accommodates.
Yeah, but the point is this. Here's the point. If you find yourself in court, okay, and you bring these papers up, you bring up the fact of your status in the court, do you think that court is going to, it's going to mean anything to that
what
court?
What does this have to do with court? This is about changing the status on my passport.
But what does that do for you then?
It corrects the fraud.
How does it correct the fraud? It's only paperwork filed. I mean, look, I understand what you're talking about because we've been through all this. But the point is this. The whole thing is a fraud. That you got right. And when the way that this could be corrected is in a court of law and laying out the fraud for what it is.
It's
but not
form. It can be corrected by this new form, but they reject.
They put a new form out to placate because people are waking up. But they're not. In other words, who's nullifying that?
Yeah, that's the compromise made in Congress on the congressional level to put it out there. But you're right; they're not going to accept the form. But the other side of the coin is if they do start to collect these things, and they very much might, okay, collect these things anyway, some way, one way or the other, when you try to file them, I don't know. But the bottom line is that they did start collecting them. You're only letting them know who you are, so when they come out for the enemies, they're going to go after, you know, the ones that are really the biggest problems first.
You should acquiesce to the fraud?
No, not at all. Right? Not at all. No, no. You're acquiescing to their power is what I'm saying. You're acquiescing to their power when you go through the exercises of things you don't need to do. You already are sovereign. You already have status. You already are one of the people. You just need to say that, and they don't even need to understand that because they don't understand the paperwork you're filing anyway. Okay? But if you go into
it's
a court...
It's their paperwork. Okay, that's the...
Yeah, but they don't understand that. But the people that you're filing it into and are accepting it, they don't understand that. The people in the courts, the judges, they really couldn't care less about that.
I explained it to the whole room, and they just wanted me to shut up and leave. I said, well, I'm not going to leave. I want to call the police. They said, you're not allowed to use your phone. I said, well, then you call the police. I want police escort out because I want to make a citizen's arrest and file a police report.
Well, now you're going into court. I mean, you're getting involved in a court as a witness. Okay, so now you're in court. What do you think that's going to hold up to?
I'm not in court. I just filed a police report to document my grievance.
But I understand, but now you have to go to court to be witness of that if it goes anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere. But if it did go anywhere, you're going to have to go to court and bear witness and stand up.
It's just a police report. And then I referenced that and made a complaint to the Secretary of State.
Is there any municipalities or anything accepting these forms? I mean, could you do some research to see if anybody's actually accepting them?
Well, they print it. It's their form. It's on their website.
I understand it. It's a form, but until you fill it out, it's nothing.
I did. I filled it out and I went
I know.
There,
so you put it in and they refused it. So suppose you go to a different jurisdiction now.
Yeah, I guess I could spend my whole life going to all different jurisdictions.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean,
the proper place to have filed a paper like that would have been the county clerk. Okay, you file it in the county.
And that's
as a notice. It's a notice as a status, and it's been put onto the record. That's where you put it. I guess there are other places I'm not aware of.
New York County clerks won't file anything. I had to record my documents in Georgia for the status correction documents.
Did you give up your license?
What do you mean?
Did you give up your driver's license?
No, I wrote UCC 1308, all rights reserved without prejudice on it, because...
But you realize you don't have rights. If you go to court, if you had to go to court, even though you put that on there and you say to the judge, well, I don't have to pay these tickets because it's commercial, it's for commercial activity, it has nothing to do with me, do you think he's going to pay any attention to that?
No, the reason you do that is because... under duress, you need that document to get by in daily life because of society and the expectations that you need to provide ID for.
Let me try to tell you where I'm trying to go with this, okay? I understand everything you're saying. We've been through all this that you're talking about. We've done a lot of this. I didn't go through becoming a national or anything, but we did the status. We filed it with the county clerk. And if one county doesn't accept it, you go to county next door. You know, we did all that stuff. We were learning back then. We knew nothing, and we were just learning from other people. And then we learned a lot more as time went on. And here's the thing. Instead of spending your time learning how to give yourself status, which you already have, okay? When I go into a court, and believe me, a court is where you really got to exercise
these
things.
But you
things.
Can't go into a court because
I'm trying to
live,
tell you, sure you can.
Those are, woman, you
okay.
can't contract with a corporation, and
okay.
all the courts are corporations.
All
like
right,
McDonald's.
But listen, you have been as brainwashed into the process as the people that you're trying to get out of a brainwashed system and into another brainwashed system. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't get you anywhere. The only way you're going
to
get...
Doesn't
hold
make
on.
Sense to contract with a court.
Hold on. Let me finish the point.
Outcome because it's a for-profit corporation. Oftentimes the judges...
No, it's not. That's
court.
Null and void. It's repugnant.
It's a corporation like McDonald's, okay?
But you have acquiesced then to them. You have acquiesced.
You
You've given them up buildings. Hold on. Listen to what I have to say, and then I'll let you talk some more. But listen, you have acquiesced to them. You say that, you know, you don't want to acquiesce to them. You've got to do this and you got to do that. Otherwise, you acquiesce. Well, you're acquiescing right now. You are giving them the court system that we own. You've given them up the judicial system, the justice process that should be in the courts. Instead of the civil law process, there should be the justice of law process.
But you
need
a passport under duress to function.
Right. You're missing the point. The point is your education doesn't get you liberty. The proper education that's going to get you liberty is the things that we're talking about right now. Okay? That's what's going
to
get you liberty.
Well, you sound more like a bar attorney to me right now. Because why are you disputing all these things that I'm trying to correct the fraud for?
Because that's not... Because you're wasting your time trying to correct it. It's not going to correct it. The way you're going to correct it is...
They have a form.
The way you're going to correct the process, the way you're going to correct the problems is by becoming educated, understanding the Constitution and the common law, who we are as a people, our heritage, get all that knowledge coming in, getting involved with people, so like-minded people on the grassroots level within your counties, creating committees of safety, taking back the political process, taking back the judicial process, bringing law and order back into the courts and into the systems. No, but you're wasting. You have no knowledge of the other side. Tell me about the other side.
It doesn't make sense to go into a court at all because they're McDonald's corporations. They are depriving your rights under the court.
They're de facto. It's a de facto operation or a court.
Legal fiction.
But it's a de facto operation, a de facto court operating in the buildings that we own, which are court buildings.
You shouldn't even be in there if you're common law.
You open up
contracting as a living man or woman with the McDonald's Corporation because only like entities can contract with each other. Living men and women can only contract with living men and women. Corporations can only contract with corporations. If you have no contract with that court as a corporation, the judge can't make you contract because that's against contract law.
Amy, listen, I understand exactly what you're saying. I understand the meanings of the words. I understand what you're doing because we've been there. But all I'm telling you right now is by doing that, you are acquiescing to giving the government to them, to giving the courts to them. And you're not doing anything to educate yourself to have the knowledge on how to take it back. How do we take it back? Do you know how to take it back? How do we take our government back? How do we have government by consent? Do you know how to do that?
I'm doing one step at a time.
I'm asking, do you know how to have... Just say no.
Somewhere.
If you don't know how, look at
start somewhere.
Amy.
This is what I did today, so I was sharing my story on this new form.
Amy,
that just came
listen,
out.
Amy, listen to me.
If you don't want to hear my story,
no, I already heard.
The next person.
I'm asking you a question. I understand what you're saying. Listen.
Okay. Just
I understand.
The topic.
I understand that you haven't gotten there yet.
If you don't want to hear my story, just change the topic, okay?
No, but I'm asking you. I understand how you got the how you got to where you're at, and you don't know the other part yet. You're just learning, okay? That's a good place to be. But my point is, how much time have you put into this to learn this process and to really organize and do it? Have you been studying this for 3 months or 6 months or a year? How long have you been looking into this?
Why do you care?
I'm just trying to understand where your knowledge is coming from and what you know or what you lack, that's all. Because I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to tell you all that's not going to save you or your nation or your posterity. It's not going to save our courts. It's not going to save our government. It's not going to save anything.
Well, it doesn't look like you guys saved it either. So.
Well, there is a process to save it, and that's what we're teaching. We're talking about...
It hasn't gotten you anywhere, has it?
It hasn't gotten you anywhere either. It has gotten me. I've beaten the IRS in court twice. I've beaten traffic courts.
How come your jury administrators are still not up and off the ground?
Because there's not enough, they're not educated enough to begin with, and it's the beginning process, and there's not enough people involved, and that is a problem. That is a major problem. If people don't want to get educated, as Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. You can't have liberty unless you understand liberty. You have to understand your heritage, who we are, where we came from. You have to understand common law. We have to understand the foundation of our law through the Declaration of Independence and how to have government by consent. You have to understand your Constitution, your Bill of Rights, and how that expands off of that. I mean, we just don't have 10 rights or 10 lists of rights. No, we have a lot more. We have a right to travel. We have a right to practice law. We have a right to do many, many, many things, okay? But you're not going to, you know, I know people who've gone further than you've gone, okay? And they've tried to turn in their
good
Social Security number. They tried to, and they turned in their license. They gave up their driver's license. But you know what? The one person I knew that went that far, okay, and they gave up their driver's license. I remember coming to a meeting that
well,
we did.
Well, that only hurts you.
But the thing is, that person could not get to the meeting.
Duress.
He had to have someone else drive him to the meeting because he was afraid he would be arrested if they caught him driving without a license.
Under duress, that you wouldn't other ordinarily do, is domestic terrorism.
I'm trying to just give you a different perspective and something else to know about that will change your thinking, I think, because I know it changed mine. And I want to have government by consent.
Well, I'm starting to think your organization's not genuine, you know.
If genuine means that we teach people to get rid of their driver's license, their Social Security, become nationalists, and to do all these other things, and to separate themselves from all of these other things, if that's the answer, it doesn't get you nothing. But of course, all it does is it really puts you better in a hole.
But
and
I really
what you're doing,
feel like you're attacking me
but,
for no reason
at but
all.
You don't realize is that you're acquiescing to the whole system. You're giving them the government. Oh, you're giving the government away. You say you have it.
You have to start somewhere. By
no, you're right. But you're on the wrong place, is what I'm trying to tell you. Why don't you say?
How do you deem it the wrong place?
Why don't you?
How do you decide what's the wrong place to start?
Have you watched the videos on our front page and read through the page?
Yes.
You have? Really?
Yeah.
Then you should know what I'm talking about.
I don't believe in the same things as you do. I don't believe.
What is it that I believe? What is it that I believe?
You should not violate contract law and contract with a McDonald's corporation that calls itself a court.
What is it? What? No, you don't understand how a court works. First of all, when you walk into a court, When you walk into a court, there are 58 different jurisdictions. One of them is law. That's still there.
And if you are a U.S. national, you should be demanding the Article 3 court, which doesn't exist. So, yeah.
What are you talking about? Article 3 court is the only court that does exist.
No.
Law and equity. Sure it is. But you don't understand how they did this. Look, there are 57 U.S. codes, okay? 58 different jurisdictions. The 58th jurisdiction is the law. The other 57 is U.S. codes. I'm trying to explain to you how it works, okay?
It's been a long day at the passport agency, so I'm done.
What they did, well, I'll just finish my conversation or the points for the other people listening in. What they have done is they've taken USC 18 and USC 22, and they've changed that to use that for the exercising of their civil law to use against the people. That's what they've done. USC 18 is a lawful process of a jurisdiction. USC 28 is also a lawful jurisdiction, but the problem is they stuck in all this unlawful acts inside those two things particularly, and other places, but particularly those are the two that they use against the people. The penal code is found in USC 18, and that's all null and void to a major degree, because you got to understand that this can be applied against people involved with and that's how most of it was written anyway, people involved in commercial activity. That's why they try to make you a corporation, and they say you're part of the commercial process, and you're driving a vehicle, and therefore you have something to do with having to deal with commercial activities on the road, and they get you for the traffic law, which is commercial law. Again, all of it, it's a game that they play, but if you understand it, and you lay it out in the courts, and you wake that judge up, because that's what happened on a couple occasions, waking the judge up, realizing I'm in trouble if I continue down this path. Now, they may continue to go down that path, and they do with other people who don't know, but they don't want it on the record because they have their excuse. They have what they think is the law. They say, well, this is what I was told, you know, but you hold them back at that point. All right, I'm sorry I spent so much time here, but anyway, I hope you rethink that, Amy. I really do. Gerard, back to you.
Okay, let's get John from Michigan, it looks like. Go ahead, John. What do you got?
I was about ready to give up. I really appreciate what Amy was saying. I really appreciate what John was saying. And God dang it, they're both passionate, so we need that. So, you know, it was good.
Yeah.
The only thing I was going to say to about John, he was talking about the cars, and this is totally off point on everything, but I think that the cars they're making nowadays are a lot better, a whole lot better than they were 40, 50, 60 years ago. I mean, before, when you got in the 60s and 70s, you had 70,000 miles in your car, it was junk. And I've got, the last three cars I've had, I've got over 250,000 miles in all of them, and it's amazing.
That's because of technology, John.
Oh, yeah.
And you're absolutely right on that, but here's the thing. You're right. You can get 300,000 miles, even 400,000 miles on a vehicle as long as you maintenance.
Not
it
anymore.
Going.
You're not going to. No way.
But here's one of the problems that they all do.
7 years, you're going to have things breaking that you won't want to fix. This is
well,
my
that's the point.
In the business. They got so much. They got planned obsolescence going on. Same thing with your cell phone. Every time they update it, they take a little more out of it, so that it only lasts a year. By the time the year is up, you're disgusted. You need to go get a new phone.
And that's exactly my point.
They
Look, if I have a
their technology is really good. The fuel injection is tighter. They don't flood. They'll go. You don't have to take a motor apart for $200,000, which was unheard of in the 70s. We used to do valve jobs regularly, but it was no big deal.
You have to change points.
Yeah, it was no big deal, though. I mean, we afford it. I mean, they got prices on some of this stuff. When you have a major problem, like a CVCT transmission go bad, it's $4,000 to $5,000. So what's the car worth? It's a 2014 and it needs a $5,000 transmission, and they're junk. So they were doing real good until since that 2014 came out with that new technology, and I got cars that I can't get through inspection because they got some stupid problem, and what's going to happen is if you can't get that check engine light out to get the sticker on it, guess what? You're not going to register it. So that's
a major problem. Is that
this
light,
whole Green New Deal light. Is going to sideline us because look at every time they go into these computers and they basically, how many times you got to send the computer in for a reprogram because they figured it wrong because they try to guess what's going to happen down the road and the engineer gets it wrong. But they don't pay for that. They make you pay for that. It's $300-$500 every time they want to reprogram something because the engineer screwed up. And I just see a lot more of that. That's all. It's not getting, if I could get $200,000 with no problems, I wouldn't care. But
the problem is with the other things and the things that you do have
miles on it, and it can't be run because it's got codes in the transmission and lean exhaust codes that every time you turn around it's changing. So I see them degrading. I don't see them getting better. You're right. They got better for 10 years and now they're going downhill again. I'm just warning you.
Yeah, I have a vehicle. I have to change the starter, so I bought a new starter. Got it in the back of my car. And, it's working, but it's ready. It's fatigued. It's ready to go. And I have to take the catalytic converter out in order to replace the starter. Why should I have to do that? Okay, that's number one. That's on purpose. I had a car. What was it that I was trying to do when you had to try to move that oil pan on my other vehicle, Gerard? And we had to lift the engine up to get the oil pan out.
You got timing chains front and back.
It's a nightmare. But here's the other thing. Here's the game they play. Number one, they know the things that why should my starter go? The car's only 10 years old. I think the starter should last a lot longer than that. They love to put these plastic gears in, for instance, that operate your ventilation system from your air conditioning to your heating, and they constantly go. Why do they put them stupid vinyl gears in there, which fatigue? On the car that I've got, the switches on the doors went out, which I couldn't run the windows, so I had to replace the switches. Okay. Then the other switch that controls the mirrors, okay, that went. I had to replace that. Now I'm able to do a lot of that stuff myself, so I did it. But the bottom line is why should that all fatigue 10 years after the car was built? They could last a lot longer than that.
You want to sell more cars, John.
Exactly. That's my point, and that's why Congress needs to get off their rump and do something and start doing their job and do true regulating these corporations that are doing this and injuring the people and just fleecing money off of us. And, there are certain vehicles that you can't, mechanics can't even work on, okay, because they don't have the information. I don't know, have you ever listened to Scotty on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
he talked about this.
I got a tranny code. I got a $6,000 Snap-on scanner, and I can't erase the tranny code. That's against federal law, by the way.
Yeah. There you go. That's another problem.
They're supposed to give me anything that has to do with emissions. Well, if that tranny code's in the computer, it won't let it pass inspection. And meanwhile, it feels like it's just fine. I don't know why it's got a tranny code. I have no idea.
If you can create a light bulb that's been on for 100 years, has never been shut off, and continues and is still on 100 years later, then I'm sure you can fix these little problems and make things last a lot longer than they do. And I don't want to hear, well, it will cost too much more money. Now, that's a lot of BS, okay, a lot of BS. But in any event, I know John didn't really want to talk about cars. He just wanted to make the point on that. We got lost. So let's go back to John. Where do you want to take this?
It was fun to listen to Gerard and you argue. You were almost as good as Amy and you. So.
Yeah, but we agree.
You guys, you can argue when they agree. Go ahead.
There's a lot of good things about it, a lot of stuff, too. I will say that.
Hey, listen, I got $300,000 on my 2002 Ford pickup before it rusted and broke in half.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's not, that was unheard of 40 years ago, 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, yeah.
And that's why they make everything else die early, so they can make money in a different way. And then they charge you an arm and a leg to buy it.
But I'm amazed that if you think about that, you look at all the stuff that's in those cars, and they could sell them for $40,000. It would cost you $300,000 to make it out if you just made it out of parts and stuff like that. It's amazing that they can make them as cheap as they make them. That really is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was all with Henry Ford and the assembly line and doing many of them. Once you got, you know, your main money is the first line of production, even in transistor.
And now they got robots, too, so it's even faster.
So it cost you a lot of money the first one, but each one you make after that, it gets cheaper and easier. And so, yeah, it's a division of labor, and I don't know. You know, it's the thing is the system's all tied together so it can fall down together, too. So I don't know. I don't know what the happy medium is there, you know?
Well, happy medium. I think you said a mouthful right there. I mean, it's somewhere in between what we got and what we could have. It's really true for me. You know, I mean, because a lot of the things we have are a lot better than they used to be. A lot of things we have are a lot worse than they used to be. And where's the happy medium? Where's the balance?
Well, if you put all the good ideas together and threw out the bad ones, boy, we'd be in some world, wouldn't we?
We be in a world we control. We run, you know what I mean? And trust me, we all believe that we got everybody's best interests in mind, you know? So all I know is that nothing is what it seems to be, and everything is different. And, you know, don't believe anything that you hear in the government. That's for darn sure.
Nope. Well, amen to that. Well, anyway, we got...
All right, thank you.
Anything else you wanted to bring up, John?
Ah, that's fine. I've said enough. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, John. All right. We got... Brett.
Enough of the auto conversation here, huh?
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett. I think it says Brett. Is that Brett?
Looks like Brett, yeah.
Yeah, Brett.
I'll be right there. Sorry, okay. I just washed my hands before.
Okay.
I heard the message.
Timing is everything, right?
Yeah, this is Marianne. And I wanted to ask about judicial review.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's like an epiphany today that I was reading. I've been reading Marbury versus Madison ever since I took the civic study. Right? I completed the civic study in 2018, and yeah, I think about Marbury versus Madison. And then
when you say judicial review, are you talking about the Republic review?
Well, the review of laws. Like, for instance, I live in Illinois, and I'm watching just, it's crazy because I'm part of a group that's alerting each other to what's going on, what they see, and I am just amazed by, like, SB 2408, which passed, and I just go, what? It's clearly communist. Like, it's just, it's so ridiculous. Creating all this agencies and basically a special class of people who are going to be involved in energy. And
right, and the reason why they're able to do that is because nobody knows the Constitution.
Yeah, and see, I know my Constitution, so I look at this and I point out how it's violating the U.S. Constitution and also how it's then... violating your the state constitution. And I keep directing people to National Liberty Alliance, National Liberty Alliance, to try to get them, because they ask me, like, oh, what do I study? I said, go to nationallibertyalliance.org. It's all done for you. It's all created. Just do the civic study to start and go from there. Because if I can do it, they can do it. And so I'm looking at, like, for instance, locally. They are there all these multifamily housing units going up. I've been observing it for years. I know it's Agenda 2030, 21, whatever. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do I attack this? what's the best way to go. So I was driving past one of these housing units being built, and they're using press board. So I look at press board, and I see that's being made with formaldehyde. And very, very dangerous.
Yeah, mobile homes and modular homes have been built with a lot of formaldehyde in, because in the wood system, it's inside the homes. A lot of people get sick from that, but I don't think that a lot of people realize the serious health issues with that. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I looked that up, and I saw what formaldehyde does, and it's basically sounds a lot like COVID-19 symptoms. And so I took the pictures, I took the formaldehyde description, and Alpha is
well, there's another problem right there with Congress not doing their job regulating that product, that business.
Well, there's so much, they're regulating it, but they're giving it a lot of safety. I go on the EPA website, I created alerts and stuff on there so that they let me know what's going on with EPA stuff. I'm basically just trying to trap them with their own words and their own. They say they're doing one thing and then they're doing completely another. And it's all for your good, obviously. But multifamily housing in general is taking away property rights. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy, that kind of thing. And
well, Agenda 21 is unlawful on many levels, and it's also communicating between local government with foreign government, which is also unlawful, because the whole process really stems with things on that. But here's the thing: the only way we're going to get rid of Agenda 21 is after devolution and the people step up and prevent it from going forward by exercising their right of government by consent. That's the only way it's going to stop. We can do certain lawsuits, but I don't know about, and we could do a lawsuit on that too, but there's so many lawsuits. It's a lot easier just making sure that our representatives understand what they need to do and send them back up to Washington to do the job that they need to do. But first they have to fear us. And in order to fear us, they have to, their job has to depend upon us. And until people do something on a local level, it's not going to be that way.
The bottom line is we need a critical mass of people to wake up. The whole COVID shot thing should have told us what was wrong with this nation. When they tell you that you have to take an experimental shot or lose your job, that is the most ridiculous, contrary thing I've ever heard. How can they require you to take an experimental shot? They can't. And so I would have stuck to my guns and let them fire me, and then I would have done the lawsuits later. So many people, I told people, don't quit your job because this doesn't hold up. Even the we got a Nuremberg Code that says that they can't use experimental, they can't force you into experimental treatment or whatever. And now people are dying from the shot, and guess what? The insurance companies aren't covering the life insurance because they're saying you took an experimental shot. That's against our policy.
Wow, I didn't know about that one.
Oh, yeah, it is not over. This is just the beginning. And look, a lot of people didn't get anything but saline solution, but a lot of people got there's three different shots, and one of them, some of them are delayed action. You're not going to see the results of them for 3 years, 4 years. And they have some of them that are, if they want 5G because they got this mRNA cased in a liquid a lipid nanoparticle that's got a lipid coating around it, and when they hit it with the 5G, three bursts for a minute long each, it breaks it open and it releases its payload. You're going to have another big uptick in deaths, and they're going to use that to say, oh, we got another pandemic. Listen, they plan this thing out. It's way more insidious than you think it is. And we've only scratched the surface of the deaths that are going to come, and they're going to lie. They're going to lie that it's from the shot. The shot is the Trojan horse bioweapon, and we've only just started to see the effects of it. So if people are that stupid that they went ahead and took the shot because they wanted to keep their job or because they wanted to go to their daughter's graduation at the college, and you should hear the excuses that I get of why people took the shot. And look at 90-something percent of the very bad reactions that killed people were only from 4% of the shots. So they knew what they were doing. I mean, I know everybody has a horror story, and that's only 4% of the shots. And the rest of the results is going to come out. So when you can buffoon, you can fool a country to embrace this and take it and believe you and believe what you're saying in spite of watching what's going on. They told us the hospitals were packed. The hospitals were never packed. That was a lie from hell.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. They had hospital shifts. There was nobody on them. It was just all a big show. And you know, I'm not saying that there wasn't some area where they had, but look at the flu disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And you go into the hospital with the flu, and people die from the flu every year. That's nothing unusual. We get so many thousand people that die of the flu, especially if they're elderly and they have other conditions. But the flu disappeared because they weren't testing for it because they needed the COVID numbers to go up. Now the flu is back, so you know what I mean? So they're playing games with us, and people, it's common sense, but they can't see it. They can't see it. They believe the lies. So you just have to be careful because they're going to come out. Now the next thing is going to be a hemorrhagic fever and this variant and that variant, and it's all lies. I wouldn't take that shot. If you drug me in, you'd have to kill me for me to take that shot. Because it's not a vaccination, it's an experimental gene-altering thing, and it's the implications are horrible. And I don't know, you know, they may have some technology to get around it, but I don't know what that is. You know, you're altering your DNA, and it's very biblical in my mind. You know, when God destroyed the earth, he said, you know, Noah. He said he was untainted. That sounds like his DNA was untainted. Because I think that this whole business with transgender and all this stuff, I think it was going on back then. I think the technology was a lot better, and they've told us that these people were backwards and barbarians, and that's not the truth. I think they got destroyed because all your Greek mythology is half man, half horse. Guess what? I think that was true. I think they were playing games like that, and that's why it ended up being legend, you know, because we see it today. They're cloning things. They're cloning people. Elon Musk believes that you can download your psyche and your brain into a machine or into a clone. Well, that's their idea of eternity, of you know. So
yeah, they may get the mind, but they won't get the soul, and therefore it won't be human. And it'll,
it's not good.
It'd be evil. It would not, no restraint.
Yeah. So, you know, until more people wake up, and we have to nullify is the easiest way. Congress needs to nullify, and these guys that are
and
in
all
office,
that stuff needs to be regulated. There has to be control, lots of regulations on those things like that. And, they're creating people, you know, they're connecting, what do they call it, like with the robot together with humanity.
Computers in your brain and everything else.
Right, at some point, a certain percentage, you know, and you become, part of that becomes an ownership of the people who took out the, what do you call it on that?
The patents.
Right, and therefore they have an ownership on that person to some degree, and at a certain percentage, you don't even have any rights anymore.
Look, if you took that shot, they own you. They own you because the way the law is written, you got that DNA in you that they created. They own you.
Yes, and just so you know, I saw this happening back when I worked for GE for a short time, and this is just in the real estate division. And I was working with a software company, and what I found really interesting was that we paid all sorts of money for them to develop a software. And to develop this whole project, right? It was like $50,000, $80,000, right? And then at the end, we did not own the software. And my boss freaked out on me, and I said, you know what? I'm not the one who set up the relationship. I walked in on this, and I was introduced to, oh, this is the company we're working with. This is the plan we have so far. I mean, the contract was already signed.
Right.
So when I walked in and started working with them on building it and implementing it, And then I find out that we don't actually own the software in the end. And that's when I, that was my first, that was my first awareness of how.
They're twisted.
You don't own it.
They've been playing that for a long time with a lot of things. I know, look at, I still operate Windows 7. I haven't even moved up to 10. I operate on Windows 7. And you know what? You know how you go out and you want to get some help, and they're no longer giving help, but they've taken down all the information that you can use to be able to work out your problems, okay? They don't put it inside the computer. It's all online. You know, any help for Windows 7 or anything, or probably 10 in all of them anyway, when you try to get help, you go out online to get help, and you get into, and you know, the, all of the information, which is basically, you know, like a PDF, what would you call it? Not like a schematic, but schematics to some degree, but information on problem solving and everything, and how things work to try to understand something. And that's all not available anymore. Why did they have to take all that down? Why couldn't they just leave that up there? I can see that they don't want to talk to you about it no more because they don't want to give any more, you know, assistance in anything older or young, older than Windows 10. So it's a major problem. Again, more regulations we need for that.
And also, you know, when they started attacking, I've been paying attention for, like 20 years now. And then when they started to attack organic farms for having the GMO pollen that they were pollinated with genetically modified GMOs, they ended up owning that farm. Just so people realize that just by having a patented genetically modified organism in another plant on someone else's farm, they took over that, and they basically lawfare them until they just have to give up their entire farm.
Well, I heard that there was a lawsuit. There was a lawsuit on a farm that was not using GMO, but because of the, you know, the wind and the environment and the GMO around them on wheat, it got into their wheat, and that became infected as a GMO wheat. And then they were sued for using that without their permission. Now, I don't know how true a story is. I heard that word of mouth. But I could imagine it's true.
Yeah, it's happened all over the place. I think there was only one farm that I heard about. I think it was in France that won against Monsanto, which it's really encouraging. Ever since then, they've been losing because people caught on to their game, and started to preempt.
Yeah. The people who own Monsanto, and I'm not talking about the stockholders, I'm talking about the main people, they all need to be in jail. They are poisoning people, absolutely. And
well,
they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, because Bayer bought them out, and I'm not sure if you ever saw World War II pictures of, is it Frankfurt? I think Frankfurt, Germany. I think that's where they're located. Where Bayer is located, but everything got bombed except for Bayer.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is really interesting because you see everything's all bombed out and there's Bayer on the side of the building and it's still standing. So, people just need to realize that this is really big and yet at the same time you try to avoid anything that allows them to insert some kind of DNA or some kind of genetic alteration into your body. I mean, granted, there's laws called GINA, G-I-N-A laws. It's genetic information. It's a protection that was set up through GINA. It's called GINA laws, GINA law, G-I-N-A. And that actually protects the people who are, it protects your DNA. It protects your person.
Well, we need to start exercising them. I have an interesting factoid that I read. It said if enough people stop buying GMO, they said only if they lose 7% of the market, they would stop growing it because that's so big to them that they could not take that hit. So it's a lot easier to get rid of the GMO than you think. If we could reduce it by 7% by people refusing to buy it, they would give it up because they're not willing to lose that. That 7% chunk is billions of dollars to them, you know.
Yeah, the problem is it's hard to find food that's untainted. You have to buy local, fresh farm-grown stuff, and it's very difficult to find food that you can that's not tainted. It's all damaged food. It's killing us.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to say, here in Illinois, they've taken over all the farms. Locally, they're either commercial or they're multi-use, and they're putting up multi-family housing left and right. And then if there's any single-family homes that are, you know, like falling apart and they sell them, they'll put a multi-family housing unit in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, property rights are disappearing like crazy. And I was in a homeowner's
Again, that's going to change soon. I mean, look, at devolution's on its way. It's in process. It's in motion. And when we get to the other side, get post-devolution, all that's going to disappear. But, you know, it's important that we get the information out. It's important that people realize this because that's what it takes to really get the job done. People have to realize that we have a problem. And we were talking earlier about this, that 30% of the people really have no clue. No clue at all. I can't believe I still see people driving around, literally driving in their cars by themselves with a mask on. And I see people bike riding. I see people walking, and they got a mask on. People still go into the stores with them. Not a lot of them, but I mean, there's your 30%. These people are brain dead. They're not paying attention at all.
And they're going to be the next flare up because
they probably all got the shots. Yeah,
they're going to get sick though because you don't need a shot. If you put a mask on your face, you will reabsorb the stuff that goes on the mask and grows, and then it's like a petri dish. And then people are getting infections. What do you staph infection and everything on their face?
Yeah,
faces
the mask. Yeah.
And then staph it goes in your lungs, and that's not good.
Mm. Well, you know, going back to the food, you know, there's a lot of high fructose corn syrup and a lot of food and drinks and everything, and it's deadly. And I was just listening to Dr. Berg. I don't know how many people know about Dr. Berg. We do have some information on him on health up on our website here. But he's on YouTube, Dr. Berg. And what he does is a lot of his videos are very short, maybe 10 minutes long. And he'll attack a problem, and he'll show you exactly how that problem, you know, what happened that problem took place in you, whether it could be an ulcer, it could be anything. I mean, any kind of a medical thing you could think of. I mean, it's just amazing. Arthritis. And he'll tell you exactly what the deficiencies are in your body and why you got it and how to cure it through vitamins. And he recently was talking about this high fructose corn syrup, which is poison in our food. And they've been selling the lie that, well, they use it because it's cheaper than sugar. And it turns out, he says, that's not true at all. The only reason it appears to be cheaper than sugar is because it's subsidized by the government.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, so who's working against us?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
So we get back to the same thing. If we don't take control of our government, if we don't get involved, and look at all politics is local. All politics is local. That's such an absolute truth. Because from your local place, from your county, from your town, from your election district, you control every part of government, you know, that that affects you. You get to vote on someone to send them to Washington as a congressman. You get to vote on people that represent you here in your state, at the state level, the county level, your town level, your village level, whatever level. Okay, you get to be able to have a say as far as who goes into the office. Of course, we don't have honest elections, and that's a problem, and that's going to be fixed. But the point is controlling these people is the key, and you do that from the local level. And therein, again, I get back to the committees of safety. The people have to get up and become real committeemen, just like our founding fathers. All of our founding fathers, every single one of them, without any exception, was a committeeman. They belonged to the committee of safety. They were committeemen. And they took control of their government, created their government, and controlled it after they created it through the committeeman process, which is the committees of safety. Now, of course, they've hijacked that, and they statutorized the committeeman. They put it under the control of the party bosses. That all took place. The Bar Association set that whole thing up. just like it set up our new courts. That's how, like it set up a new governor for America through the from the Organic Act of 1871, you know, and all these things. The Bar Association is responsible for all of it. All of it. Pharmaceutical companies, everyone, everything. They're responsible for all of it.
Well, that leads me to a couple more questions. One is, what number, what kind of percentage are we talking about for critical mass? And the second one is there any way to take down the Bar Association by using RICO laws?
We can take down the Bar Association almost immediately right after devolution, because the courts have to be cleaned out. Once the courts are cleaned out, whatever judges are there, then we can apply the law upon them, because they'll have to obey the law at that point. They'll understand the difference. They are, on the federal level, they already know it, and that's where you want to control the federal level, because the federal level can control the state level courts, because they can require obedience to the Constitution. But the bottom line is that we're already preparing a case for that purpose. To lay into the courts devolution is played out and we're able to do it, we're going to file a case against the Bar Association for subversion. They're traitors. And the requirement of the original 13th Amendment, which has been removed from our Constitution back in the 1800s sometimes. Nobody's sure exactly when it was just dismissed and is replaced by another 13th Amendment in, 1860-something. But nevertheless, all we have to do is apply the law, apply the 13th Amendment. Look at anybody that is part of the Bar Association is not a person that could be trusted. Because they have, you know, that whole process goes all the way back to the beginning of the bar of back in 1750 or 1760. I think it was 1750 something. That's when the Bar Association was originally created here in America for the sole purpose to destroy our judicial process and eventually our political process. But it was to destroy our judicial process. And our founding fathers made a law: if you are a member of the bar by having a title of honor is what it's called. They're called esquires, okay? And so they had to get rid of these people because they were destroying our whole judicial system and our political system. And so they, in the 1800s, I think it was 1818, somewhere around there, the original 13th Amendment was written. And that prevented anybody that belonged to the bar, anybody with a title of honor, could not hold an office of trust, and would lose their citizenship. That's how serious it was. Okay, and so we just have to exercise that 13th Amendment, which our founding fathers. That was the days when our founding fathers. A lot of them were still alive. Jefferson was still there. Adams was still there. A lot of them were still around, and they were all part of that thing. So what we need to do is exercise that, and we can lay out the destruction. We can show point by point how they destroyed our judicial system, how they destroyed our political system, how they lifted up all of this bad legislation which gave power and authority to all of these different corporations. They brought us into corporatism. They've created the Federal Reserve and the tax system. They destroyed our Constitution. They removed the common law and replaced it with civil law. They removed the rules of the court, which is the rules of common law, and put forth civil rules. Of the court, rules of the court, and they just destroyed everything. We're going to lay all that out, and we're going to file those papers. And we've already sued the federal judiciary, and we're still filing paper. Well, we haven't filed a paper in a while, but we'll continue to do that. But the bottom line is suing the federal judiciary and the United States Supreme Court because they're not doing their job. They have turned a blind eye to the Constitution and the suffering of the people here. They've just turned a blind eye, and they're not protecting, not doing our job. They're supposed to be champions of the Constitution. That is the United States Supreme Court's purpose, to be champions of the Constitution, and they don't champion the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, nobody honors their oath of office to defend the Constitution for the United States of America. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So the people have to do it.
To set it for that reason. We do need, you were talking about how the elections are really important. The only thing is we need to get rid of these machines. I mean, they're corrupt as can be.
Well, no doubt about that. Look, there's no reason why they can't count them by hand. They got enough people involved. I know the cities could be a problem. And look, you can use a machine, but you still have to hand count it. And that would be a check against itself. But, yeah, I think hand counting is the way they go. We
got
to go back.
They can't do it. They got precincts. They got enough people working.
That's right.
They've done it all these years. Nothing's changed. They just, you know.
And look at the committees of safety being the true committeemen. That's their job. They should be doing that.
Yeah.
This is our government. This is our elections. We, the people, should be taking control. And how do we do that? Through the committees of safety. And you got a couple of hundred people in every county. Believe me, you can easily deal with the counting. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that you have a large area like, the large boroughs down in New York City, which are counties, you know, maybe have, 700,000, 800,000 or 900,000 people in them. And so those are pretty big. But bear in mind, you know, you got committees of safety going down there with the higher population. You may have 1,000 people in the committees of safety. Maybe you have 2,000 or 3,000 people in the committee of safety. And that's more than enough to be able to count the votes.
Yeah.
And there is a process of counting votes, you know. It was Robert Schultz that dug this up on how voting should be counted and laid it out. And ultimately, it's something like this, if I recall. The person takes the ballot, looks at it, and interprets the ballot as they see it. This person got the vote for this one, this person got the vote for that one, so on and so forth. Another person across the table is recording that. Someone standing behind the person who's saying this is how the votes went is saying, yep, that's true, that's true, that's true. Someone else that's standing behind the other person who's recording it saying, yep, they're doing it right, yeah, they got it. In other words, there's witnessing going on. So it takes four peoples to count the votes, correctly. And you need lots of four peoples, you know. Each election district, has to have so many people in order to count the votes. And that's available ultimately through the committees of safety if the people step up and take their duty in hand and do it.
Mm. Well, they make it very, very difficult in Illinois. I'm in Cook County.
They're making it very difficult.
It's a nightmare during voting time because they'll have like 75 circuit judges. You're voting for the judges.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be 75 of them. Like 98. There was one time there was 98 of them. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you hand count every single one? And you'd have to have different elections to count all. It's ridiculous because it's not simple. It's not simple.
Well, again, we can find a way to figure it out. I think, look, at you take a machine. Okay, each machine, every election district has a limited number of people in an election district, okay? I don't remember what the number it is. I think it's something like 400. So once you have 400 people now, you know, you have to open up another election district and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. And it works its way all the way across the United States, all right? So, for instance, I'll give you an example. In my county, we have 249 election districts in the entire county. Okay, so each one of those election districts has its own machine. So you need so many people, let's say four people for each machine, in order to count the votes properly. And maybe some of those places are small, where maybe four people can count two of the machines because maybe it's less people than 400 or whatever the case may be, because some election districts may only have 300 people in it. But we're talking also only party people, but still, nevertheless, the election district only has so many votes for people who are being elected. So ultimately, you know, that's what has to be counted. And everyone doesn't go out and vote. I don't know what the percentage is, you know, that people actually go out and vote. But so the numbers aren't really that bad that we can't do it. We can do it.
Mm-hmm. No? Well, yeah, you can do it.
But here's the other side of the coin, okay? You could have Hitler, and you can clone Hitler and put, you could, what is it, 200, and, no, let me think what it is. How many people in Congress? I should get the number. I forget how many congressmen there are. 450 or something? 530, isn't it? Which includes the Senate. 430, I think, on the Congress and 100 on the Senate. I think that's right. Let's say it's 430. You give me 430 Hitlers, clone Hitler, 430 of them, put them in Congress, and as long as the people are taking care of business, making sure they have government by consent, and controlling those people, they're not going to be able to do any damage. But the people have to be watching, and the people have to be saying, hey, wait, ooh, you can't do that. And if you continue that, we're gonna recall you, and maybe it's against the law. Well, we'll indict you. Okay, you see, that's control of the power of the people. And not only that, if the person wants to get reelected, they have to go to the committeemen to do it. They're not getting into office without going through the committeemen, and who's the committeemen? The people. Unless you go into the statutory committeemen, which are the elected committeemen, which aren't really elected anyway, but nevertheless, it's statutorily controlled, and they have party bosses, and it's a whole different process. So that will fall apart on its own. While once the people take control on the county level, the statutory process will just fall apart. It just go away.
It totally needs to.
The parties so have what, got to go.
So we have a process in place for the implementation of. I know that we have a process.
Everything
in place
is there for us to take control. Everything is there. The only thing that's missing is only one thing missing: the people. And that's what we're trying to do: is wake the people up. It's very difficult to wake the people up. It's very difficult to get their attention. It's just very difficult. You know, there's so many things going on, you know?
Yeah, we've been working on it. But does how many, I guess I could bring it to the Illinois level on Wednesday night. But as far as countrywide, how many members of National Liberty Lines are you seeking to have in order to be able to implement this? Or is it the number of people you have that go through the government by consent after this study?
Well, it's up to the people. We got about 10,000 members. But of the 10,000 members, we have nowhere near 10,000 members being active and really doing what needs to be done, just like any other organization. It is what it is. The problem we need is what's called the critical mass. The critical mass is when all of a sudden we start to get, you know, hit with 1,000 new members at a time or something, you know, 1,000 members a week or something more. It just keeps adding up that on that kind of a level. At that point, you eventually become into hundreds of thousands of people. Now, but we need, of those hundreds of thousands of people, again, there's a small percentage of the people that are actually willing to step up and do the job. Some of them may not want to do the job because they feel that they can't, but I can tell you that you can. Some people may not want to do the thing because they don't know how. We'll teach you that they don't have the knowledge. You don't need the knowledge. We'll give you the knowledge. You'll figure it out. It is what it is, you know. You'll get it. You know what's right from wrong. You know what needs to be done and what doesn't need to be done when you start looking at the problems. Some people maybe are afraid because they don't feel that they can articulate themselves well. And, you know, people have all kinds of excuses, but they shouldn't worry about those things. And they shouldn't have to worry about leading or articulating the situation to a group. Someone will step up and do that. The right people will eventually turn up. It always will. It always does. You'll also get the enemy, someone trying to always come in and try to infiltrate and to take the system the different way. That's why people all have to get educated to realize, well, that's not the way we got to go. But you know in your heart anyway, ultimately right from wrong, and that's the key to this whole process anyway. Common law is all about right and wrong. That's all it is. And you just have to sit and think about it and say, well, that's the right way. That's definitely the wrong way. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. But you know, some people figure, well, the other guy will do it. So people are too, look at, I really feel you got to throw those smartphones away because it's taking up too much of people's time, and they're not getting anywhere with it. They're not growing from it. It's not doing nothing for them. A lot of just BS. It's just a lot of, who cares what's going on with that stuff? But people seem to care, and it takes away a lot of their time. It's also teaching the younger people not to read. All they do is want to tweet, you know. I think a conversation we had early, I think, represented that kind of an idea in the sense that, you know, they couldn't go beyond. They didn't want to go beyond into the conversation to look deeper to see what the other side is all about. How do you really take control? You know, what I do with a piece of paper to do something to get my status right, well, okay, fine. I don't need to do that anyway because I already know I have my status. I speak the right words and go in and do what I got to do wherever I got to go. And I specifically am talking about the courts, but nevertheless on anything. And but the thing is you have to know and get educated to know and understand the common law, to understand. And it's simple. Once you get it, you get it, and you get it quickly, because it's not like trying to study, you know, civil law with all this, you know, jibber-jabber stuff. I mean, you want to get confused? Go read USC 26. I haven't got a clue in what they're talking about. I haven't got one clue. There's about four or five places that I've read that I've dug out and found, or other people have found, and I pointed out and I looked at it, that I can understand, which really destroys itself, because obviously some good people did stick some things into that that was constructive for justice. But all of it is just a bunch of nonsense. It doesn't make sense. There's no true construction. It's just confusing. Nobody can understand it. And that's what they're using to do the tax. And all you have to do is go down that silly rabbit hole two or three or four levels, and you can show the insanity of it all. That's what I did to beat the court in one time. And they didn't want that on the record. But anyway, we've come to the end of our program, way beyond. I appreciate the call, and I guess we're going to close down. Gerard, are you still here? Or did we lose Gerard? I think we lost Gerard.
Oh, which one are you? I'm sorry, because I hear John.
I'm John.
And you,
I'm John.
You are.
Yeah.
You're John.
Correct.
Okay,
well, we're going to close down. Good conversation. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And hopefully this book will be available in a couple of weeks. I'm going to self-publish it, so it should be able to come out quite quickly. So thanks a lot. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Jeff. Thank you.
Good night.